This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother Canada 9 coverage, the very first eviction. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I am here today joined by Mary. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great. Excited to be back for Canada. I've got my Canada shirt on, so it's, you know, it's really nice. I really didn't think after how Big Brother Canada 8 ended, like what we were going to be getting this year in terms of Big Brother at all. But I'm really excited that it came back and getting ready to talk about all the juicy deets.
The juicy deets. Also here to discuss all things deets and juicy. It's Iman. How you doing, Iman?
I've been better. I mean... This episode was lots of fun. It was very an emotion I'm not really familiar with when watching Big Brother Canada. I was actually on the edge of my seat for a live show. That being said, the ending wasn't the best, but I'm still excited to talk about everything.
Yes, it is. Man, it's unfortunate that they had to cancel the season again. But
I know.
Things happen. I mean.
All right.
Yes, there's a lot to talk through here for the first eviction of Big Brother Canada 9, but I'm sure we'll get through it all. Let's talk about the episode. It was, in my opinion, a much, much better episode than the premiere. We got so much.
Yep.
Again, bursting at the seams, this one with let's get to know these people a little bit better. This is everything I wanted the premiere to be. And every single year, I'll say it. I want to see more. I need more episodes from the first week, or give us feeds for the first week. Give us something, because there's clearly so much content that we got from this first week between getting to know the players and what was going down with alliances and drama and Julie and Josh and LaToya that we're just going to have to piece together with, retold stories from the feeds when they come up. So, good episode, but I want more, Mary.
Yeah, I know that we're going to have to do some detective work really soon, probably in the next couple hours. I think there's going to be a couple late nights here of research happening and piecing things together. But I was glad to see that we did have a very character and person centric episode. I would prefer this 10 times out of 10 to let's throw as many possible twists as we can at them in the first couple episodes, like we've seen a lot in Big Brother. This is great. Let me know the people, especially if you're going to be having a week one eviction and getting rid of someone really early. I know this wasn't night one, but it was close. It was close to that for us, at least, since that first episode didn't have a whole lot in it. And I would have loved to see more from Julie. I would have loved to gotten more time with her. But I'm glad that at least the time we did get, we got something that we got some background on who she is, her life experience, and even how she was playing the game and the types of people that she was talking to. You know, it's really nice that we got, while it was a very short arc and I wish there was more, at least we got an arc there.
Yeah, this episode did start on a bit of a sour note for me, at least, where last night I was on the podcast. I said that I hope we don't start the next episode without getting the introductions and they just kind of like run straight into it. Like we already know that they already know each other. And that's kind of how it felt. I feel like we never got the scene of them seeing each other for the first time, talking about their first impressions, having the introduction conversations, like, who are you? This is a person I'm vibing with. I feel like we jumped straight into these six people are vulnerable. Who are we targeting? This person. And we got when we found out about alliances or friendships, it was like, you know, a couple days in, it was like, hey, we're friends. Like, okay, how did that happen? You have the footage. How did it happen? Like, tell us.
Yeah, I don't understand why we couldn't have just, I mean, I understand that the first day was Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. And so the premiere is supposed to be on Wednesday. So it's not quite a lot of turnaround. I mean, I'm not in the TV business, so I don't quite understand just how long it takes to edit an episode and throw things together and choose which bits are important and everything. But it did seem like they sort of rushed them right into the competition to begin with. And so I feel like there's a possibility that the whole, hey, I'm this person and you're this person, let's be friends thing probably didn't even happen too much for them as it was. But with that being said, even after the competition is over and they have a bit of a moment to breathe, I wish that we would have seen a little bit more of that as well. I mean, we did get to see Team Destiny. Destiny's the one that won, right? That's Destiny, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Destiny was the one that won. So yeah, we did get to see them sort of like, you know, come together and scheme and talk about what they wanted. But everything was very like strategy focused, which we love.
Yeah.
We do love. But at the same time, we do want to get a chance to know these people before they get the boot, which they served up a bit as well. But I was like, damn, like, they're showing us all of these beautiful people telling their stories, coming out to each other. And then minutes later, we got to say goodbye. So I wish that we had like one more episode of Buffer before this happened. But I don't know, maybe that one more extra episode of Buffer would have made us even more attached to these people than we already are. So,
yeah. Well, and I know that it's like every year we're just like, give us three episodes, give us four, make each episode 2 hours, you know, give us all the background info.
Yeah.
But we have to, like, shows like, you know, Survivor, maybe they got a 2 hour premiere, but people are leaving in the first night too. Like, I know that a lot of us are old school Big Brother fans at heart and really like it when you get more time, you get a full week's worth of episodes before anybody goes or more. And
I just feel like there's
no reason not to do that.
Yeah, I feel there's also just no going back after Big Brother 22, getting to see them night one. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that Big Brother Canada has to go ahead and do that. But what I'm saying is, like, it's just hard, you know, when you have that experience, you get to literally see everything happen from the very tippy top of the game. And now we're sitting here like twiddling our thumbs, like wondering how everything transpired. So, yeah, it's just, it's a little bit of a letdown, especially considering who the hell went home tonight, which I'm just...
Yes. All right. Well, we do. We have some
breaking news are happening now.
Some breaking news. The feeds have gone live.
Damn it. I was worried that was going to happen. No.
Come on. Instantly regretting his decision to be on this podcast.
I was so excited. When I got asked to be a part of this podcast, I was like, yeah, that'll give me some time to, you know, hold me over until the feeds come on at like midnight. But now, of course, the season that I'm going to be on this recap, the feeds are live.
Look,
but I'm very grateful.
Chance to test out my brand spanking new VPN, right?
There you go. the good thing is that there's usually not a lot going on when the feeds start. You're usually just hanging around waiting for somebody to have a private convo. I think we'll be all right. I think we'll be all right, Aman.
Well, HOH, do we think it happened already or no?
I would assume so. I would assume that by the end of this podcast, we'll be able to play a spoiler alert and maybe give an HOH result, but not necessarily.
Right. I want the live feeds to have a ticker at the bottom that just tells us who the HOH is, who won Power Veto, so you don't have to like try to do that work.
I should add that to my Twitch stream when I'm streaming.
There you go. Yeah, just have that there. Perfect.
Yeah. All right. So that's the feeds are running, but you don't have to leave. You can probably leave both up at the same time if you're so inclined. Look, if you've got to check out an interesting convo, I understand. You can always come back to us. We're always going to be here. The thing about the first like introductory period for the house guests for me is that we've been looking at all these players, reading their bios, watching their videos. And you know, we have impressions of them. And so when we get to watch the first couple of episodes and we get to see their impressions of each other, It's like they're like us. They're reading each other, and like, what are the differences going to be? How do they come off here versus what we thought they were going to be? And you know, instead, when you just kind of like run straight through, like, I have no idea. I know that LaToya did not like Julie, does like Jed and Tashaun. That's it. I know nothing else about who she likes, what her impressions were. You know, we still know very little about the interactions between the rest of the house guests. And that's what I'm looking for in the first couple episodes. That said, again, I thought this episode was great and full of some really, really good stuff, primarily stemming from the diversity of the cast and just how packed full of different cultures and experiences this cast is, that they all get to share their own stories. And I thought it was so cool that we had such a rich episode full of people sharing their culture and their story. It was definitely a breath of fresh air, I think, Aman.
Definitely. I mean, I think it's, in a lot of ways, it's Big Brother returning to form, right? I mean, I think Big Brother Canada has always sort of had that through line of embracing culture and ethnicities and diversity. And I think that Big Brother US sort of had that same thing going on in the very, very early OG seasons, when they were focused more on social experimentation. And as of now, you know, we know the story of Big Brother US. But I like the fact that we are beginning to go back to, yeah, you know what, let's all sit down in a kumbaya circle. I know that's not everybody's cup of tea, but I promise it makes for better storytelling when we get to see them bond like this. Because then when you have to say goodbye, you're like, damn it. Like, and no matter who it is, like, obviously I'm upset about who went home, but I feel like that probably wouldn't have been the only outcome that would have upset me tonight. And I think a lot of that has to do with the amount of time that we got to spend with them in their intro packages when researching the cast, when they first dropped the cast, and with that little segment with them all, you know, having, you know, talking to one another about their life story. So yeah, it was great to see. They really faked us out with that clip today, because I saw your tweet, Taryn. I tweeted the same thing. I was like, there's no way these three are going home. None of they're all safe.
So yes,
the next thing you know,
for context there, they'd released the clip of the dolls prior to the episode airing. And so my initial thought was, why would they release this clip, getting us hyped about these three, you know, the dolls being Austin, Brayden, and Julie, who were doing the posing in front of the door? Why would they release the clip of these three if one of them goes home tonight? I did have the thought afterward, well, it could be because they're showing this in the episode because somebody from this group is in trouble. But I was hoping not. I was hoping that they would be all right. And not the case.
But, you know, having that conversation, what Aman's calling the kumbaya, get to know you kind of conversation we had, which we saw start out as it looked like they're playing Never Have I Ever. Then they have coming out stories. And having that got me to a point where about halfway through the episode, I didn't want anyone to go home. And usually I'm either there's people who don't stand out to me for personal reasons or whatever, like, they could go. Or there's people who I feel like are playing either really good or really bad strategic games. And that's why I want them to stay or go. And having these types of conversations makes it more balanced for viewers, who some people come to Big Brother to watch those strategy bits and can understand maybe why LaToya made the move that she did. And then other people are going to come at it from a different point of view of saying, like, no, it's all about the characters and the people and who they are. And I'm here just to see interesting, diverse cast. And being able to have these types of scenes where we're getting the interaction and the bonding between them allows both sides to get something out of this, and also makes it harder as a viewer to even know, like, who you want to root for, because you're going to root for people for different reasons, both strategic and social, which is great, because I think a lot of times this game has started becoming two one way or the other. You get seasons where it's like, I don't like these people, but like, I'm glad that they're playing a good game or not. And so, ideally you would just have a cast full of people you liked who are also playing a good game.
Yeah. And I think ideally for me, you know, we get, you know, the premiere where we meet people, we have the intro scenes, and then the following episode, we can get into strategy an alliance building, and then the following episode we have an eviction. I think that would be ideal, but you can't always get what you want. And that is the story of this, this first week in general, even beyond what we're asking for from production, because, Julie is going to be the first person evicted from the game. I had such high hopes for Julie. I'm very disappointed, Iman.
Yeah. You and Melissa's teams were acting up. I was like, I'm going to sit back and enjoy this, because I don't know how long it's gonna last, but yeah, y'all were going at each other this week. It's like, this is nice.
Yes, right away it seems like it's going to be between Josh and Julie. Josh, because he was one of the weaker people on the team, according to Julie and Brayden. And then it also seemed like he wasn't exactly fitting in based on the edit, but you never really know. So we get a little bit from Julie and Brayden about Josh, and then we head over to Jed and to Sean, who predictably are creating the sort of alpha intra-alliance or intra-team alliance to protect the strong people. Nobody could have predicted this outcome. They have decided to pull in LaToya as a third. I imagine that they do have a lot more than just that at this point in the game. But that's all we've seen so far. And LaToya seemed pretty dead set from the start that Julie should be the one to go this week.
Yeah. And I think personality wise, it seems like they really clash. They have very, very different personalities. LaToya seems very, from what we got on the episode, very like straightforward and direct. I don't know. That's like the way I was getting it. And then very like, I'm just going to speak facts, and which it's hard to tell. I'm trying to see if like, is this game body? Is this just like, this is the way, whatever? Yeah. I mean, it's very cop. And then on the other hand, you have Julie, who's much more bubbly and outgoing and does have a little bit of the loose lips when it comes to telling everybody what's going on, at least from what we saw, which is also understandable given this point at the game. So I see where they're both coming from, but it looked like this was just a pair of people who are never gonna get along personality wise.
Yeah, I mean, LaToya, I'm already at the point now where I'm like, girl, you're not gonna win this game, because even if you got your first target out this week, and now maybe this is just the edit, you know, we didn't really get to see a lot, other than them just talking about who they thought they were going to get out, this, that, and the third. But just based off of the stuff that we did get from LaToya, like Mary said, she is very straightforward, very, like, I was going to say placid, but the way that she handled Julie walking up to her wasn't placid at all. But she's just sort of just, like, straight to the point. Like, it just seemed like there was no willingness to fake it till you make it with her. There was no willingness to actually play the mind games that Big Brother often requires. So I do wonder, is her personality going to be enough to take her far? Granted, it's the beginning of the game, it's the first week, but I mean, you got caught in your first week and you didn't handle it well at all.
No, and yeah, the scene where she got caught and was having that confrontation, or it's not, I don't even know if I can call it a confrontation, but where Julie asked her straight up in the bathroom, like, did you say my name? Did this happen? And it's like, you'd almost want for her character to say, yeah, I did. I did. And here's the reason why. But she didn't handle it well. She kind of panicked and then said, "Oh, I'm not going to deal with this," and walked away. So that wasn't great. But I can see why the pair of Jed and Tashawn like her and would want to work with her. I can see that, and I also think I agree with what Taryn was saying. I bet they have more people with them as well, whether with LaToya or not.
Yeah, I mean, she seems perfect for them. I mean, if I'm Jed and Tashawn, I am so glad that LaToya is on the team. She is going to head up the alliance. She is going to push for who she wants evicted. And as the two big guys in the house who otherwise would be very threatening, they get to kind of like sit back and let LaToya take all the heat instead of all these rumors about a guys alliance. It definitely. So this was interesting to me. So Josh says that he's concerned about a Pretty Boys 2.0. Which was interesting because we haven't really seen any of that. It seems pretty clear that Rohan is involved in something because he stands up tonight on eviction night and he's like, was I concerned about my name being out there? Of course, but I had faith in my people. Like, he's got a crew, clearly. I don't know who it is, but I would assume it's something to do with Jed and Deshaun. They sort of flashed to Kyle, the other, like the hockey bro, when they were talking about these Pretty Boys 2.0, sort of, I don't know, either implying that Josh thought Kyle was maybe involved with them or that maybe he actually is involved with them. I would again assume that he probably is because that's usually how it works. But we don't quite know yet. But based on my assumptions, I would say we've probably got like a core three or at least a core two of Jed and Tashawn with like they thought maybe the core three would be LaToya, but then she was very out there and maybe now they're kind of like she's the figurehead. Or they're still really with her, but they've also probably broing down with you know Rohan and Kyle and you know I don't know who else they might have maybe like a Beth or something, you know, who knows.
What I need from LaToya is for her to recognize that the guys have something else going on because you just from what we saw in this episode, it seems like to the second she heard. Oh, there might be a guys group going on. No, there can't be because I'm with the guys, which is like the biggest, you know, like we've had that just time and time again. And now maybe we're wrong. Maybe they told us this because the three of them are really tight and this is the core. But if it's not, LaToya, I'm going to need you to find some other people as well so that we can not have a Pretty Boys 2.0. I mean, and, you know. If they're the best players, they do it and they set it up, like good for them. But just what we want variety, you know, let's see something different.
Yes. I mean, it's definitely possible that that she does have other people, right? Like, you know, I don't know how tight she would be with them. I think that, you know, again, typically how it works in the beginning of the game is that if you have a sort of like dominant personality who is kind of like trying to call the shots, trying to point the target at people, you know, people. Especially early on, we'll kind of take a step back and be like, okay, you're on the team, but I don't know how closely I'm working with you. It would not surprise me if LaToya is in with a lot of people as well. But if Jed and Tashawn get to be the kind of like the chill bros, like she's running the alliance, but come hang out with us, then that's where she could be in some trouble. But again, we're basing this entirely off of an edit where we saw very little of what's actually going on. So
I feel like a broken record because I keep you know prefacing everything with like what we saw on the episode. But I mean,
I still feel like it's fair critique though because everything that we saw from her was so stern, so like austere. Like even right up until the end, which happened today when she was asked about whether or not she said Julie's name, and she was like, "Yes, and if I did say your name, it was amongst other names because we're playing Big Brother." And what? Like, it's just like, girl, like, where is the honey to your vinegar? Like, I don't get it. Like, I just need for you to figure out how to sugarcoat some of your words because, yeah, like, you might end up being the figurehead of this alliance and you're going to be the first one to go when the time comes. So I don't think, I mean, yeah, we didn't see a lot, but from what we did see, it's not looking good for home. It's not looking good for homegirl. It's not.
Yes. Well, of course, if you want to be caught up on everything that we learned tonight, I will be live tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. Puya should be joining me and we will have our first live feed update of the season. So make sure you don't miss that. There'll definitely be a lot more information at that point. This is what we have so far. So Josh tells Julie about this potential Pretty Boys 2.0. At this point, I'm thinking, okay, this is looking up for Julie, because if she plays this right, then she can kind of turn this into either they go after Rohan, as Josh suggests, or Josh gets in trouble for trying to build an army against the bros, right? And so she grabs a group together. It seems like it's all of the members of her team minus Jed and Rohan. And maybe somebody else was there. I can't remember exactly, but I do know that LaToya was there, which definitely tells me that, that nobody seems to know at this point in time, at least, that, that LaToya is with the bros, which is definitely going to be a huge advantage for this alliance. And she says that, hey, Josh told me, I'm just relaying the message that there's a boys alliance and that we should go after Rohan. I liked what Julie was doing here, and I think that if LaToya is not in the room with her, or if LaToya just for whatever reason, you know, didn't have this weird grudge against her target that she had on Julie, I think this could have worked. But I do think that it was a little too much, too fast to just kind of spew this out, rather than kind of like slowly go to some allies and try to trickle it out there. For as much as she said, hey, I'm just relaying the message, this is a Josh thing, you know, she's the one holding a meeting with a bunch of people. So
it felt very like, what are you? Okay, so what now? Like, you, like, Josh came to you with all this information about how he feels like Pretty Boys 2.0 is happening. And then you, like, corral all these people into the pantry, the most obvious meeting place ever, by the way. And you tell them all of this stuff, and then at the end of it, you're like, I'm just the messenger. It's like, okay, so what do you want them to do with the message? Like, do you want them to go after Rohan? Do you want them to go after Josh? Like, what is it? And I feel like somebody like LaToya, like, and to Julie's credit, I mean, she can't quite possibly know that LaToya is after her at this point, but LaToya is already feeling some kind of way about you, and that was just enough of her to be like, yeah, you gotta go, because you're just spilling everybody's secrets. And there was like, no, what was the plan after that? You just wanted to get that out there, and then what, girl? Like, I don't, it just didn't really coalesce into anything. There was no plan of action afterwards. Like, if you had either done what Taryn just said, and just like sort of, you know, trickle it out a little bit and just like plant seeds here and there, that would have been a little bit more graceful, and then everybody can sort of make a plan of action to do something. But it was just get it out there and then nothing, which is very weird.
Yeah, when you are dealing with having information in the Big Brother house, people usually feel like, okay, I've got this information, therefore I have power, therefore I need to use it. And the key is that you need to use it purposefully. Like you guys are both saying, you need to have a reason behind, I'm going to tell this to certain people, which is going to result in this outcome that I'm looking for. And that either needs to be, hey, Josh is saying this, so we need to target Josh. Or Josh is saying this, and I agree, so we need to target Rohan. Or whatever the situation is, you need to do that. But just dumping information, particularly in the big group setting, ideally one-on-ones are usually better, because you are going to have people who are way less likely to be swayed by other people's opinions and bias and groupthink, and instead actually listen to you one-on-one. It's also a lot harder to trace back when you're spreading things that way. But when you just come into a room, gather people, dump the information without a purpose and leave, I mean, at some point you're like, okay, I understand why LaToya was, you know, cautious about that, especially since LaToya already didn't like Julie or already wanted to target her and had a reasoner in her head. This is just, yeah, it's confirming that opinion that was already made, which, you know, is how's Julie going to know? She doesn't know that LaToya already thinks that. But you got to go into this game constantly thinking that anybody could be with anybody or anybody could be against you. And so always put your best foot forward in every situation. Come on, guys, it's easy.
I just wonder if, like, maybe Julie was doing that because it seemed like, I mean, this was the first of this of the two times in this episode that we're going to see Josh, like, come up to Julie. And Josh wasn't that subtle either. Like, when Jed and whoever else was out there with them in the backyard and they're talking about going to the hot tub, and then Josh is like, actually, no, I want to talk to Julie first. And it's like, okay, not subtle at all. So I wonder if because Josh was so obvious and wanting to talk to Julie so much that Julie just felt like, okay, I just need to tell you guys what's happening because I want you guys to make sure that me and him are not scheming or whatever. So maybe that has something to do with it. But either way, it just wasn't a very good way to handle whatever information he was going to get. Especially since it really wasn't that much information. It wasn't really intel. It was just, this is what Josh feels like is happening. And this is who Josh feels like should be the one to go out. So
yeah, it also seemed like Julie was not the biggest Josh fan, actually, because first of all, yeah. She was one of the people who was initially targeting him. Then he talks to her about the pretty boys. She immediately rats him out to a large group of people. And then when he later warns her about LaToya, she immediately rats him out to LaToya. And then in the eviction speeches, she goes full on against Josh is the weakest player here. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't be here. She votes him out. And she's also like, I believe I saw her like rolling her eyes at him as they crossed in the hallway to do their votes. It seemed like she was not. And I, you know, you could be wrong. And there's certainly, once she knows it's between her and him, there's a lot of reason to try to get other people to vote for him. But it seemed like even beyond that, it seemed like Josh thought they were on friendlier terms than they actually were.
Yeah. This was one of my favorite moments in the episode. And maybe this is wrong because we don't know what the edit was. This could be days apart. But based on the episode, you have all the guys that Josh thinks are in the Pretty Boy 2.0 alliance say they're going to go to the hot tub. He talks to Julie and says, got to get him out. Julie goes upstairs to the bathroom where LaToya's in a bathing suit and says, LaToya, Josh says the guys are all in a group and that you're coming after me. And LaToya's like, you know what? I just want to go to the hot tub. Where are all the boys? If it's the same day and it's happening right then, I'd be like, LaToya, why are you going where all the boys are? Why are you wanting to be in the Pretty Boys? I thought that was funny.
She must have been flabbergasted because I guess she just had she didn't put two and two together, because even during the interrogation scene, when LaToya admits to, you know, saying her name, she's sitting there like, so you didn't, girl, Josh told you, like, are you acting or did you really not know?
I think in the questions at the end too, I think it was so clear that Julie asked the question of LaToya of, did you say my name? Because the question gets asked, Julie's like, oh, the question? What?
Who's asking this?
Yeah, that was great.
Oh man. Yeah. We'll get to the interrogation questions, but I have thoughts about all that.
And we skipped this earlier. I know that this is just a lighthearted moment, but the moment with Victoria in the shower. I mean, do we want to talk about that? Because that was hilarious.
Oh yeah, I'm calling her the Flash now. Yeah.
Victoria is just very, she's a hype level 10. She's just excited about everything. Excited about the shower, excited to be in the Big Brother house, excited to be playing the game, excited that she's in the shower.
There was a feeds leak earlier today and it lasted about 60 seconds, if that. And in all of those 60 seconds in the bathroom as they were getting ready, it was Victoria like talking.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, like, I didn't know. I was kind of like of two minds about Victoria in the preseason. I was like, this personality seems very grating. But then I was also like, well, maybe she's, you know, just hyping it up for the cameras and she's not always like this. But no, it seems like she's always like this. So, but you know what? It seems like it works. It seems like it's very infectious. Everybody seems to enjoy her. We didn't really see any kind of edit suggesting otherwise in the episode. And from what we saw on the feeds, I mean, which was very little, it doesn't seem like she's in any kind of danger right now. So, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well,
so.
Interestingly, Victoria is the only other person to vote with Julie against Josh. And I do not know why. I'm seeing some tweets from Puya who said that he watched the TikTok interview with Julie. So there's a little bit of info here. Apparently she did correctly guess that Victoria was the other person that voted with her. So there's clearly some reason to believe that that she would have done it, and it was probably not just a rogue, you know, hinky vote. So That means,
and I guess that also confirms that she's not coming back in the house. I kind of had like a sliver of hope that maybe something could happen. But if Arissa's, you know, confirming her suspicions of who's voting where, then I guess that means she's
well,
out.
I don't know if I don't know that Arissa confirmed it. Well, more that she guessed it. Right. So I haven't watched the interview. It's possible that Arissa asked, like, hey, who do you think voted for you or voted with you?
And she just said the right answer.
Victoria. Okay. And so we know that it was correct, but she doesn't necessarily. It's still so it's possible.
Wow. Who would have thought that in the year 2021, we would have been using TikTok videos as a means to gauge where we were.
OK,
in
so I am seeing in the chat that Arissa did confirm it. So
all right, well,
that should tell us right there that we will not be seeing it, which is not super surprising again in these times of COVID.
Yeah.
It's going to be much more difficult to make something like that happen. But with only 14 players, it seemed possible. I know that, you know, we've talked about this. I think I said last night that I was not predicting additional players. It seems like that is the case, that we are not getting an additional two players in the roster. We are moving ahead with the 14 player cast, which I am a big fan of, to be honest. I think a smaller cast is definitely a huge step in the right direction, in my opinion. I think that the cast size is one of the major things that adds to, you know, big alliances coming together. So I'm hopeful for that.
Yeah, it is curious. It is curious to know whether or not they thought at all about having more episodes before an eviction, given that they have such a small cast anyway. There's not really a great reason it looks like that they couldn't do that. Unless, do we know how long the season's going to be yet?
70 days, I believe.
70 days. So yeah.
Typical size for a Big Brother Canada season. So
so they could have given us more.
Right. You know, I would expect no triple for what it's worth. But
you know what they say, expect the unexpected, which would be having a triple.
Well, that's down here, though.
People.
That's our tagline. She says everybody's there, always watching. So
they're just always watching. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. So we did. We have. We get to this this questioning here. So we're having a tribal council, where the losing tribe is having to answer anonymous questions that could have been from Jeff Probst, I guess. What did you guys think of this? Aman, you said you had thoughts on this. What were your thoughts?
I very much enjoyed this. I don't necessarily know if all of the questions that were asked really did anything in terms of votes. My guess is that probably won't do a lot, especially if you're one of the people that's on the block and you're asking a question. It's like, well, like, you're going to go home anyway, so it's not like anything can truly change the situation. But I did like just how cutthroat they were. I like that they weren't really milquetoast questions. I like that they really took the anonymity seriously and just, you know, spoke their mind. And I like the fact that we got such strong reactions out of these contestants. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that this is a new twist within Big Brother Canada. And so there isn't a lot of, you know, there isn't a large pool of experience for these people on the show to realize, like, well, maybe I should, you know, answer these questions a little this way or whatever. I did like the fact that Jed really dodged his question very well about the final two. And they were like, yeah, so you're with Sashawn. Tell us about your relationship with Sashawn. It seems pretty comfy, bro. And he's like, I mean, well, you know, final two, yeah, that's a thing. Totally. But not so later. I thought that was a nice political answer, Jed. He did a good job. And then somebody like Latoya is like, yeah, say your name and you're going home. So you kind of get like two ends of the spectrum on the question. So I really enjoyed that. And I hope that we get to see more of that, to be honest. I thought it was great.
I would hope that Jed recognizes that he got asked that question probably for a reason, and then might look at it like, okay, I need to step back a little bit, maybe, maybe start to talk around with some other people. I do wonder whether or not having this question session was, is this too much power for the winning team? They won, they're safe, they still get to vote, and they also get to ask anonymous questions. I'm just wondering if that was like a, unless it continues and it's not just a week one thing and they always get to do this. Seems like a lot.
Yeah. I like the concept of anonymous questions. This is something that they do in the circle. Is pretty effective and can lead to some drama. And I think it's a really cool way of introducing some actual intrigue to these ceremonies that are usually just a bit bland. But I do, my biggest issue with it is actually not that it necessarily gives the winning team too much power, although I would like to see them open it up. Anybody should be able to submit an anonymous question.
I would love for
somebody to ask themselves a hardball question, knowing that they have a good answer for it, right? Like something like that would be interesting. But I think my biggest problem with it is how is it decided which questions get chosen and which ones are eventually asked to which person, you know, having letting production kind of decide which people get which questions is a little shady to me. I'd rather it be a little more open.
Yeah, I guess when I first saw it, I was assuming that it was like first come, first serve. Everybody gets to ask. Every person on the losing team is going to answer one question directed at them. So you come in and be like, okay, I want to ask a question to Brayden. They say, oh, Brayden's already taken, pick someone else. But I'm assuming that's not what happened because that seems too complicated. So yeah, they probably did just ask several and then divvy them up. Yeah, I don't know if any of the answers really, really stood out to me as being shocking. I do love Josh having like the three sentence answer, the three word answer rather. That was kind of nice. And it did feel like at this point when we got the questions, it seemed pretty obvious who was going home based on the answers, just based on Josh and Rohan not really saying a whole lot. And they were the only two kind of red herrings in this episode.
Yeah. They were very low key this episode, and I wonder just how much longer they're going to be able to keep that up.
Well, and we had that conversation with Tina and Beth a little earlier, where Beth very acutely says, like, you know, been hearing Rohan's name and Julie's name, obviously, but maybe we should keep Josh around because he's going to be a bigger target in front of us, and he's always his name is always going to be out there as an easy boot, unless it's the thing where he's the easy boot and everybody wants to keep him, which, you know, don't want him to turn into the goat to take to the end.
Right? Yeah, that was the thing, you know, toward the end when it's pretty clear that that Julie and LaToya are kind of beefing a bit. I thought, well, here it is. You thought Josh was a great target in front of you. This is perfect. LaToya and Julie are going to be going at it. Josh seems to me like the kind of player that will easily just end up fading into the background. Josh is the kind of player that you want to get out early because he is not fitting in with many people. And he will end up being a free agent that will just kind of like be able to slide by. The further along he gets in the game, the more dangerous he becomes. Well, in that said, I think Julie had a lot of potential as well. And, you know, depending on your position in the game, if you're in a position of power, you probably want Julie gone because she has more friends probably, and she has more capability of building an army against you, and you want the Joshes, the free agents. You want people to be separate and have to rely on free agents. But if you are the kind of player that's looking at, you're not in power and you're looking at like, where can I find shields? Where can I find distractions? Josh is not it. It's going to be, you're going to want to, you know, buy into the fight, in my opinion.
I see that. I think the complicated part there is we don't know Beth's position in the house, but Beth and Tina having this conversation, like if they are not super in power or if they're sort of middle of the road, it's going to take a lot of work to get a crew to basically go against LaToya, who seems to be much more outspoken and have a lot of power, and say, I know you want Julie gone, but see, we need to keep her around to fight with you. That's that, you know, that's not going to fly if that's like the way that it's phrased. So, yeah, it is complicated about like the people that you want based on your situation of not being in power or in power. is more complicated. It's complicated to get those people to stay without having power.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's why, in my opinion, it's so important to fight so hard in the beginning, mm-hmm. so that you don't let these big groups build momentum by taking out their enemies and their targets. And then, you know, every week it's going to get harder and harder to not do their will. That's where we are here. So ultimately it's, we start getting the vote and immediately, you know, we're hearing Julie, we're hearing, you know, Austin and Brayden say Julie's name and over before it started.
Oh yeah.
They really kicked her out of the dollhouse. Like, did they need to show us this alliance before its utter decimation? What was the point? What was the reason? Production, what was the reason?
It's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all.
Oh my God. Can I just love and still, like, what is this? Like, freaking, what's his face in Big Brother? Can we just love and still win? Damn it.
Yeah, this was brutal. It's especially brutal because, like, we never get to see Julie on the feeds. We never get to see what happened and why. And you know, we certainly got to hear, you know, her story, but that was not her full story. I'm sure she had so much more to tell. It sucks that her experience ended so soon.
It just really sucks, especially since we know that she's a big fan of the show. And I know a lot of people have like reservations. Yeah. And I know a lot of people have reservations about, you know, her being an influence or whatever. But she was a fan of the show. She wanted to be on this show. And I mean, 6 times is, you know, it's a lot of times to be auditioning. And for you to be the first boot, I'm just sad for her. But I mean, she handled it pretty well. I mean, that being said, she could be somewhere in a hotel room crying her eyes out right now. And if she is, then I'm sending her all of the love that I have. But yeah, it just sucks that, you know, someone that a lot of people were so high on is out so early. I mean, but I must say, I'm glad that I didn't draft her. I'm glad that I let Karen do it because, I mean, here I am with all my peeps. So...
Yes, it's unfortunate for sure. And I will say, I think that in a normal week, I, not having seen exactly what happened, I think she's a lot less likely to be the first boot here. In a normal week, I don't think that a lot of people in this house would have chosen to nominate her. I think that she just happened to be somebody that was vulnerable, and the sort of the equation that you run when you're thinking about who to eliminate is different when you have a big pool of people versus, you know, you have to choose 2 people from everyone to single out. Right. And and she is kind of an easy target there where, you know, if she is somebody that is likable, she has friends, but she's vulnerable here and it's possible to take her out because there are a couple people on her team that are willing to do it. Then just like that, it's just an easy kind of boot there. Whereas again, if, you know, if say Tina was HOH, is Tina going to nominate, Julie and Josh? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Right.
I wonder, because I mean, cause the queers got to stick together, right? The fact that she was the one that said that and then went to everybody else and said that Josh said that, I was like, oh girl, she was really playing messy. I do want to know, like, I am interested in hearing, like, what the progression of events was that caused Julie to be the main target. I mean, I'm assuming we can all make the assumption that it's LaToya, you know, went back and told Jed and Deshaun and the three of them sort of probably, like, disseminated that target to the rest of the group. But also, like, from Josh's perspective, I want to know, like, when did he stop feeling like it was going to be him? And when did he get the cue? Okay, we got to go after Julie now. And did Julie ever think, okay, should I just start going toe-to-toe with LaToya? Because it seems like she might have more power than I thought initially. Because, I mean, she did confront her. And at that point, like, if you're going to confront somebody as they're trying to make their way to the hot tub and they say, I'm going to the hot tub, I'm not arguing with you. I mean, that seems to me like it's guilty. So it seems to me like you should try and maybe go after her. I don't know. So I am interested to know, like, what what, how did this progress and how did it happen this way?
If I had to guess, it seemed to me like it was always going to be Julie. Like right from the start, LaToya, Jed, Tashawn have the conversation. It's going to be Julie. They spread that. It's going to be Julie. Julie and her friends think that they have a chance to get Josh, but they never had the full plan until they eventually, you know, figure it out. And so Josh probably always knows that he's pretty safe, but he's being used as a potential alternate. And it seemed to me like Josh was the one kind of like reaching out to Julie and being like, hey, this is what I think is happening against you. Hey, this is what, you know, I figured it out. It's LaToya. She's the one doing this. Like he wanted to stir stuff up because even though he knew he wasn't going home, he still wanted to make an impact. And he was probably going to Julie because Julie is the person he knew who had nothing to lose. And, you know, could potentially help get him out of the hole that he's in. But that's fully fan fiction at this point. I'm just trying to read into what we saw.
I can see it. I can see it, though. I mean, kudos to Josh that that's what happened. I mean, he does seem, I mean, if he does give off that helpless emotional vibe that Julie was trying to sell to the others, but it could all be a ruse, or it could just be that LaToya was just like, let's get Julie up out of here. And that was just going to be it from the get-go. I would have loved if Austin and Brayden were a little bit more team dolls and we got to see a bit more of a split house, because Victoria isn't even a doll and somehow she was trying to keep Julie. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And with anonymous voting, it's like it's week one. I know the people just want to keep themselves safe for the next week and do what the house wants. But if you're thinking this early in the game about, if I don't vote where the house wants me to, then I'm going to be on the bottom. If you're thinking mm-hmm. that, then you're already on the bottom and you need to be doing everything you can to flip the situation. Yeah. It does not help to just be a sheep and be safe. If you're working on week two or week one to just be safe and just make it to the next week, you're already in a bad situation. So, I mean, I know that we were hoping it was going to be different this year, but I can think of like three or four more times off the top of my head that in the first episode or two of a season, you get a group of people who is different than the whatever the power alliance is. In this group, it was the dolls, and you hope that they're going to be able to do something. And for me, it's almost like the second we get that secondary alliance to combat the main one, I'm like, okay, one of them's going, and this is the writing on the wall, because it happens like every single time. You get your Misfits alliance, your Nerds alliance, or whatever it is, and they're usually like a night one boot. So I mean, at least it was a couple days in, but it's frustrating. It's frustrating to see that happen, and I know that it's like they're not all necessarily the most perfect players, and they can be messy, and that could be why they go. Mm-hmm. But I just still think it proves that for Austin and Brayden, like, I'm glad that they're safe, but you don't want to just be safe at the sake of never having power.
Yeah, it's an outdated strategy at this point. It doesn't. It used to work. It used to, if there was a majority alliance, you probably could kind of just chill for the first bit and then wait for them to implode. Players have gotten smarter and game incentives have changed to support big alliances. You cannot wait. If you get into that house, you need to make sure that you are on top of any potential big alliance. When Josh goes to Julie, says there's a Pretty Boys 2.0, and she goes to a group of people, that could have been a turning point in the whole season. I mean, that's what happened in Big Brother 15 eventually, right? Moving company got blown up. Mm-hmm. Like, these things do happen, but you need to let them happen. And when you had, I mean, that's the effectiveness of these alliances, is that they had a mole in the group who was able to shut things down, it seems. And again, this is all speculation at this point, but I'm completely with you, Mary. This is why we need people who understand the game, who know the game at least a little bit, so that they know that, like, hey, the modern game, you need to make sure that you are playing. You cannot wait. So, yeah.
In the fan fiction version of that, I think this is the best I can do based on the episode we saw. when Josh tells Julie the information that he thinks that there is this guy's alliance, you need the two of them to get together and say, okay, we got the two of us. We're going to bring in the other two dolls. Now we got four. We got Austin or Victoria, apparently, mm-hmm. since she votes. So that's five people. Then what you're going to probably want to do, and obviously they don't know this, but it looks like on the board, the other people you might want to go to are, okay, Beth, because Beth was wanting to keep Josh around for some reason anyway. Now, I don't know if Beth could get on board for the same reason about wanting to keep Julie, but you got to get back. Oh, but Tina was the other one and she's not voting unless the case of a tie. But then it would be a tie. So if you get those six, you're getting closer. That's about the best I can do right now. I'm not sure who that extra person, you're going to need probably one more. And I don't know who it is, but yeah, it was unlucky that the group that was in that room is not really the group that they needed.
This might be, this is definitely guesswork here. But at one point in the episode, Josh mentioned going to talk with Kiefer. And that said to me, like, hey, I wonder if Kiefer is kind of Josh's buddy in the game. And so if they have got Kiefer and they have the dolls and they have Victoria, like that's like 5 to 6 people in a house of 14 is huge. It might not be enough votes for this particular vote, but it could be in the first week. You can use the same tactics that the big alliances use because you now have a big alliance and you can start putting pressure, social pressure on. Nah, I think the house is going this way. There's at least 5 votes now. Like you can start, you know, swinging the power around.
Yeah. You tell Kiefer as the captain who's safe on your team. Hey, we've got the majority of our team, or, you know, we've got these 3 people or whatever on our team. You're safe, but you didn't even have to fight for us. And, you know, I know he already said that he was feeling some guilt for the fact that they had lost and he was safe. So use that, get the captain on your side. He's going to want to have the most unified team going forward. So whatever that looks like. And I think what we just don't know here is we don't know who Tayshaun and Jedson's like other people were. Maybe they had already sort of splintered out and had other really good relationships that weren't going to be caught. But
and that's the effectiveness of having these big alliances so early.
I mean, they clearly production tried to take this into account and keep big alliances from happening by putting them in teams, but any of that. Any potential of that was immediately extinguished when you gave everybody a vote besides the person of the captain of the winning team. Like it's always a numbers game at the beginning. Like, and even if the numbers are split in half, I mean, sure that, you know, that adds a little bit of interesting dynamic because then you have the potential for the people that don't have a vote to try and still influence how the voting pool does actually operate. So there's there could be a little bit of splintering, a little bit, you know, more interesting gameplay happening there, but when everybody has a vote, you know, the majority rules. That's just how it is.
And I'll say this too. I think especially in the beginning of the game, even if you don't have the numbers, even if you are a vote or two short, just having any kind of show of force that yes, there is an opposing side to this big group is huge, because how these big groups work is that there's a core group that uses the people on the outside of their group, on the outskirts of their group, to bulk up their numbers until they get rid of them. And the reason that those people on the outskirts stick around is because they just want to be safe and they stick with the numbers. But if they know that there's an actual other side to jump to, then there's more incentive to consider their options. And there's that group might not solidify in the same way. Now, further in the game, if you present a united force against a bigger group, that could just help solidify them until they get all of you out. But early in the game, it's all about just making sure that you do not let people set up the Cody structure, the Derek structure. It is very effective and you need to work against it immediately. So that's what they need to do.
You heard it here first, BB23 hopefuls. Get in on it immediately.
Yeah.
Do it. Don't wait.
All right. Are we ready to talk about... we've learned very little from the feed so far. There hasn't been much content yet, but we do know the HOH winner.
I missed that in the chat.
Yep.
Who is it?
Well, we can discuss the spoilers here. But if you are going to jump out now, thank you for joining us. You can, of course, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Mary is at Frail Mary, and Amon is at Amon.
And I'm at Amon Adwin. Who's at Twitch?
I will be live tomorrow morning with the live feed update at 11 a.m. Eastern. So here we go. Let's play the spoiler music.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
It's Julie. Right. She's back in the house.
Oh, she's lying to you.
Damn soon. Wait, like the epitome of too damn soon.
I'm sorry.
All right. So the feeds came back on and
I just saw it on the feed.
Austin.
Austin wow.
Is the new HOH. Yes.
Wow.
The
feed literally just popped up as you said it, and she's sitting there in the
sitting
HOH
in
room.
There in the HOH room, which I'm sad to see that the HOH room does not appear to be overrun by vines. It's just the same as it was in the last. Yeah.
There's nothing's changed.
No, it looks exactly the same as last. Which, you know, it was a really cool set. A little Fortress of Solitude. Thing,
like, I feel for the Big Brother Canada 8 players who, like, had this traumatic experience. And now, like, if they're watching the show, they're watching the exact place that they were. Like, there's very little has changed. Like, that's going to be even more difficult.
Especially being Big Brother Canada, like we're so used to drastic ass changes. One season you get the Death Star, the next season you get a casino. Like we're just so used to everything changing. But you know what? I mean, the philosophy of like an overgrown, you know, post-apocalyptic thing. I kind of consider the HOH to sort of be like an underground crystallized cavern that doesn't get touched by the apocalypse, as it were.
Should be like all the ice melted. And it's now like a
reservoir.
Swamp. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking, but something. I mean, I like that they are doing like a, you know, it's been sitting here dormant for the last year while everything happened. But come on, HOH room, give me something.
Oh, she looks happy after that conversation.
Oh yeah,
what's going on?
So yeah, I mean, we don't know. We will find out. There's been very little game talk, from what I've been able to gather. It's just been, you know, people hanging out, and then they've been doing the HOH room reveal and hangouts. They've all been in a group together so far. Obviously, I think again from the TikTok interview, who knew I'd be saying TikTok so much in my Big Brother coverage, but I think that Julie mentioned that she understood that Brayden and Austin did what they had to do with their votes, and she didn't hold it against them. So this was not them turning on her, as far as I understand, more so them just kind of voting with the house. And that tells me that, you know, Austin, Brayden, Victoria, maybe, potentially were some of the people on the outs, and that this could be a very good thing that we have in Austin HOH. That said, we don't know what their motivations are. We could see, you know, I think worst case would probably be like, all right, now let's get out Josh. Right. Which would be.
Do that, girl. Don't do that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, because of the team situation, assuming that it works similarly, I mean, do we know, like, you're HOH, I don't know if they can nominate, maybe they'll say you have to nominate one person from each team. Maybe it'll be you have to nominate two people from the loop. We don't know how it's going to be, but if you are stuck nominating people from your own team, then, or from the other team, it would just be hard to have, you know, you can't put up Tashawn and Jed in the same week necessarily.
Yeah, so I don't know. Again, as far as I know, there hasn't been any kind of update as to what the twist even is. If it means that, like, is Austin allowed to nominate anyone from her team, or are they immune again? I would assume not, because like, who wants to watch a month of the same seven people be immune the entire game? Like,
yeah,
that just seems absurd to me.
I wish Big Brother would stop doing us like this, both Canada and the US, where they have all these twists that get introduced and then we don't get to learn about them. It's kind of like learn as you go. Like, can we all be like Chrissy and just read the damn
rule book
at the beginning of the season, like, so that we all know what's going on? It's so hard to talk
about. It looks like we know which team is safe.
The chat is saying that they believe Team Destiny is safe. I don't know if that is assumption or if it's been confirmed.
Is that fact or fiction, y'all?
But that would definitely be very disappointing, in my opinion.
Yeah, because I mean, interesting to know if is it just whoever wins the HOH, their team is safe? Did they first do a team competition and then that team fights to see who's going to be the HOH of that team? Not sure.
I'm seeing that it's probably not confirmed, but definitely feels that way. Seems to be the general.
Is this too much Survivor in our Big Brother?
Way too much.
At this point now, yes, it is.
House is looking a little bit like a jungle, and we've got teams and already a pagonging.
I mean, seriously, this is going to be if their team is safe, this is 2 weeks of full on safety for these seven people. And if they do another week, if they do 4 weeks of this, then it's possible that there are these same seven people immune for an entire month. I think that is one of the most disastrous outcomes for any season.
It's time to start spilling the rice, because now I'm starting to get a little worried.
You know, you say that we've seen upsets in Survivor before, but it is just it's not Big Brother when you have teams.
Yeah, they're saying team is confirmed safe by Austin.
Damn, y'all.
What are they doing?
I mean, I think it's just Big Brother was like, we haven't had any Survivor all year, so we're going to do best of both worlds.
Like, what are they thinking? I don't understand.
I don't know. You know, it is sad that if it is a pagonging, but like the teams were picked by the captains in the house. It's not like production set them up that way, so...
Yeah, but that's almost worse. Like they set up a situation where if the teams aren't balanced properly, there's gonna be a terrible situation.
And I guess what I'm saying is, you say terrible, but I'm like, but it's an arbitrary group of seven people.
But who wants to watch seven people just be immune forever?
I don't know.
So who do we got?
I'm not saying I like it.
Kiefer, Brayden's not going anywhere. Jetson, Rohan, LaToya, and Josh.
I mean, it's like, are we just going to watch Josh get voted out? Like,
I mean, if they're still nominating people, maybe not.
I guess not. Yeah.
Is there a veto? So many questions. This, you know what? And we don't know the format. So there's too much the challenge in my Big Brother as well. With not knowing the twists up front. Okay.
I mean, I guess what we can hope for is because Austin's the one that got it. I mean, she just has to go big and go like LaToya and Jed, like otherwise.
Yes, please, yeah. Girl. Please.
I mean, that, that would be interesting.
I really don't want to have to wait until the merge.
Look, on the upside, the merge has been happening earlier and earlier, and like 12 person merge is common.
You look, if this is really how it works, this better end this week or next week, because that's way too much immunity going around.
I mean, Arissa, we love you. This is a fantastic cast. This is great. You've been a... But please, please, I just have one more request. Just one more. Please, don't... Please, pretty please.
All right. Well, on that note, let's start to wrap this up. Mary, did you have any final thoughts on the episode and what we've got going on here?
My final thoughts are, I thought that it was better than the first episode, but there's still room for improvement. Let's just give us all you got. Give us nice, fleshed out moments. Could keep that up, but you know, it's like what they tell you in writing. You know, you gotta show us some things. Don't just tell us that people are an alliance. Show us why, and that would be really nice. But overall, you know, I'm relatively happy, excited to try and jump in and figure out what's going on even deeper.
Yeah. I just look, the more I think about this, the more absurd it is. They were like, oh man, the audience doesn't like it when the same people are up for eviction every week. How can we artificially create a scenario where that can happen? Like, what? Stop.
But I think the upside that, like we said before the season, was that this does prevent. Okay, let's say you got like a pretty boy situation. You got four people. If they've got two and two on each team, they can't all four make it far, assuming that they did like a full pagoning. Now, of course, what generally happens is just it'll be the last two people on that team are the two people of the bigger alliance because they play well. But yeah. But I think the idea is that you could potentially keep some people who would be early boots at least in the game a little longer because they might be on the winning team. I think that's the idea.
Right. Amon, any final thoughts?
No. I did have one thought in the episode. Big Brother Canada, can we please like have more lodging space for these house guests? Like every season, yeah. The clothes are just packed and piled up on top of each other in those rooms. And I'm like, damn, like it just feels like they never get to settle in. It's like I would never unpack my bag if I knew that I wasn't going to have any space to put my things. So
yeah, keep you on your toes, Amon. You could leave it at any moment.
It always just looks so messy in there. I'm like, damn, can y'all clean up? And then I realized they don't have anywhere to put their things. Like, that's just how it is. But all right.
All right. Well, that's what we've got. I'm sure there's going to be plenty to talk about tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern with Puya as we discuss what happens here on the feeds tonight. We'll try to give as much of a rundown of the alliances and you know, the plan for the week and all of that as we can tomorrow morning. But in the meantime, again, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I will be live tonight after we wrap up here. I'll jump on. We'll watch some feeds on Twitch and you know, I'll be taking notes and trying to figure out what's going on. So. Come over there and hang out. Mary, what are you up to?
Up to all kinds of things. You can follow me everywhere at Frail Mary and check my Twitter for posts about what I'm doing at any given time. I'm Twitch streaming nostalgic video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Frail Mary on Mondays and Wednesdays, and on Kowski Cast. We're currently releasing episodes of Twyfight and the Riverdale recap with Kirsten McInnes. So check those out. Once or twice a week or whenever they get dropped, or, you know, there might be like a 3-month hiatus. We don't know. It's just whatever. I like to keep you on your toes.
All right. And Amon, what are you up to?
You can follow me on Twitter, as always, at Amon Adwin. You can also find me on Twitch at the same name. The Drag Race podcast should be starting up this week again. The COVID special has already aired, so we're going to be back into the swing of things on Monday, whenever it comes out. But yeah, I'm really excited for that. And yeah, Big Brother season is back, you guys. Yay.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. Again, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern for the live feed update. And then every morning until it ends. Then Monday night, Rob will be here to talk through the Monday night episode of Big Brother Canada 9. Tuesday night, we will have the first roundtable of the season. We'll kick off the stock watch then, and then we'll get into the next week, Wednesday and Thursday. So check that all out. Of course, don't forget, if you are not a patron of Rob as a Podcast, to go and become one. What are you doing with your life? You're not a patron. Come on, let's make it happen. All right. Thank you guys once more for joining us. See you next time.